and at that point the phone rang again. Their father answered. It was their mother on the line from Paris, France. Their father forced a bright tone into his voice, and he talked and listened, and then he hung up and relayed the news that their mother had arrived safely, and that old man Moutier wasn't expected to live more than a couple of days, and that their mother was sad about it. Reacher said, "I'm going to the beach." Chapter 15. Reacher stepped out through the door and glanced toward the sea. The street was empty, no kids. He took a snap decision and detoured to the other side and knocked on Helen's door, the girl he had met the day before. She opened up and saw who it was and crowded out next to him on the stoop and pulled the door all the way closed behind her, like she was keeping him secret, like she was embarrassed by him. She picked up on his feeling and shook her head.
"Then my dad is sleeping," she said. "That's all. He sat up and worked all night, and now he's not feeling so hot. He just flaked an hour ago."
Reacher said, "You want to go swimming?" She glanced down the street, saw no one was there, and said,
"Sure. Give me 5 minutes, okay?"
She crept back inside, and Reacher turned and watched the street, half hoping that the kid with the boil would come out, and half hoping he wouldn't. He didn't. Then Helen came out again, in a bathing suit under a sundress. She had a towel. They walked down the street together, keeping pace, a foot apart, talking about where they'd lived and the places they'd seen. Helen had moved a lot, but not as much as Reacher. Her dad was a rear echelon guy, not a combat marine, and his postings tended to be longer and more stable. The morning water was colder than it had been the afternoon before, so they got out after 10 minutes or so. Helen let Reacher use her towel, and then they lay on it together in the sun, now just inches apart. She asked him,
"Have you ever kissed a girl?"
"Yes," he said.
"Twice."
"The same girl 2 times, or 2 girls once each?"
"2 girls more than once each."
"A lot?"
"Maybe 4 times each."
"Where?"
"On the mouth."
"No, where? In the movies or what?"
"One in the movies, one in a park."
"With tongues?"
"Yes."
She asked,
"Are you good at it?"
He said, "I don't know."
"Will you show me how? I've never done it."
So he leaned up on an elbow and kissed her on the mouth. Her lips were small and mobile, and her tongue was cool and wet. They kept it going for 15 or 20 seconds, and then they broke apart. He asked,
"Did you like it?"
She said,
"Kind of."
"Was I good at it?"
"I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it with."
"Well, you were better than the other two I kissed," he said.
"Thank you,"
she said. But he didn't know what she was thanking him for, the compliment or the trial run. He wasn't sure. Chapter 16. Reacher and Helen walked back together, and they almost made it home. They got within 20 yards of their destination, and then the kid with the boil stepped out of his yard and took up a position in the middle of the road. He was wearing the same core T-shirt and the same pair of ragged pants, and he was alone for the time being. Reacher felt Helen go quiet beside him. She stopped walking, and Reacher stopped a pace ahead of her. The big kid was 6 feet away. The three of them were like the corners of a thin, sloping triangle. Reacher said,
"Stay there, Helen. I know you could kick this guy's ass all by yourself, but there's no reason why both of us should be exposed to the smell."
The big kid just smiled. He said,
"You've been to the beach."
Reacher said,
"And we thought Einstein was smart."
"How many times have you been?"
"You can't count that high."
"Are you trying to make me mad?"
Reacher was, of course. For his age, he had always been a freakishly big kid, right from birth. His mother claimed he had been the biggest baby anyone had ever seen, although she had a well-known taste for the dramatic, so Reacher tended to discount that information. But even so, big or not, he had always fought 2 or 3 classes up, sometimes more, with the result that one-on-one, 99% of the time, he had been the small kid. So he had learned to fight like a small kid. All things being equal, size usually wins, but not always. Otherwise, the heavyweight championship of the world would be decided on the scales, not in the ring. Sometimes, if the small guy is faster and smarter, he can get a result. And one way of being smarter is to make the other guy dumber, which you can do by inducing a rage. An opponent's red mist is the smaller guy's best friend. So yes, Reacher was trying to make the smelly kid mad. But the smelly kid wasn't falling for it. He was just standing there taking it, tense, but controlled. His feet were well placed, and his shoulders were bunched. His fists were ready to come up. Reacher took one pace forward, into the miasma of halitosis and body odor. Rule one with a guy like that, don't let him bite you. You could get an infection. Rule two, watch his eyes. If they stayed up, he was going to swing. If they dropped down, he was going to kick. The guy's eyes stayed up. He said,
"There's a girl here. You're going to get your butt kicked in front of a girl. You won't be able to show your face. You'll be the neighborhood retard pussy. Maybe I'll charge the toll every time you come out of your house. Maybe I'll expand the zone all over the island, or maybe I'll charge a double toll from you and your retard brother."
Rule three with a guy like that, upset the choreography. Don't wait, don't back off, don't be the challenger, don't be the underdog, don't think defensively. In other words, rule four, hit him first. And not with a predictable little left jab either, because rule five, there are no rules on the back streets of Okinawa. Reacher snapped a vicious straight right into the guy's face and caught him square on the cheek. That got his attention. The guy rocked back and shook his head and popped a straight right of his own, which Reacher had expected and was ready for. He leaned left and let the fat fist buzz past his ear, smarter and faster. Then the guy was all tangled up in the follow-through and could do nothing but step back and crouch and start over, which he got well into doing until he heard the sound of a motorbike, which was like the bell at the end of a round to him, like Pavlov's dog. He hesitated for a fatal split second. Reacher hesitated too, but for a shorter time, purely because of geometry. He was facing up the street, toward the four-way junction. His eyes flicked up, and he saw a bike heading north to south, keeping straight on the main road, passing by, not turning in. He processed that information and deleted it even before the bike was gone, just as soon as its speed and position had made a turn impossible, whereupon his gaze came straight back to his opponent, who was at a geometric disadvantage. He was facing down the street, toward the sea. He had nothing to go on but sound, and the sound was loud and diffuse, not specific, no spatial cues, just an echoing roar. So, like every other animal on Earth with better sight than hearing, the guy yielded to a basic instinct. He started to turn his head to look behind him, irresistible. Then, a split second later, the auditory input went unambiguous when the roar got trapped behind buildings and the guy came to his conclusion and stopped his move and started to turn his head back again. But by then, it was far too late. By then, Reacher's left hook was halfway through its travel. It was scything in, hard and fast, every sinew and ropey muscle in his greyhound's frame unspooling in perfect coordination, with just one aim in sight, to land that big left fist on the guy's neck.